Once there lived a man who had a wife and children. And often he would leave the house in the evening and walk down to the town pub where he would spend many hours and much money drinking and laughing with the other men who were gathered there. When a concerned neighbor approached him concerning this practice, he shrugged it off and said, "After all, I know what I can handle, and besides, nobody's getting hurt." But one winter night, as he was walking for his usual visit to the bar, he heard something behind him. And when he turned, he saw his 6-year-old boy, who is jumping from one footprint in the snow, coming behind him. And he smiled, he turned back to his son and said, "Go on home, you can't come with me right now." And the little boy looked up and cried, "Why not? I want to be just like you, Dad." And that really sunk in. He thought about where he was going, thought about his little boy who is following his footsteps, and he picked up his son, walked back home, and never went back to the bar. But what if he had not turned and seen his son coming? What if he had gone all the way to the bar and then noticed that his son was there? Or what if 15 or 20 years later he realized that his son had indeed followed in his footsteps and was living just like him? The truth is, more often than not, we don't hear the sound of following footsteps. And on this Father's Day, I want to ask you dads a question. If your son or your daughter followed around and started acting like you, how would you respond? The story of another little girl, preschool age, who dropped something and out came a swear word. Mother was shocked, said, "Where did you learn that?" You already know the answer, don't you? "Well, that's what Daddy says." Oh, yeah. They're listening. They're watching. And they are following our footsteps. So I'd like to consider this idea, following Father's footsteps, going back to an Old Testament book we don't refer to very often. The book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, it's right before Ezra, if that helps. Right after 1 Chronicles, as you might imagine. 2 Chronicles details the history of the divided nation, Israel and Judah, leading up to the demise of both of those nations. And in chapters 26, 27, and 33, we're introduced to three young men who bear a striking resemblance to their father. And I'd like to consider from their lives a few practical lessons for all of us, moms, dads, and kids. The first man we meet, we see in the opening verses of 2 Chronicles 26, his name was Uzziah. And Uzziah lived in his father's righteousness. Beginning in verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah, and she was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. This is an account of a successful king a righteous king. And notice the key phrase in verse 4, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah was a man who lived in his father's righteousness. Now, I don't want to suggest that somehow Amaziah's righteousness filtered down through his son automatically. This was a choice that Uzziah made. He chose to follow his father's path. And I believe he could do that because he was given a clear pattern of right living. And he used that to pattern his own life. I think it's also very important that Uzziah's mother is named in this passage. That was not usual in the Old Testament histories. They don't often mention the mother's name. But I believe that her influence on his life was also very important. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, this book of practical wisdom written by the wisest of all men, King Solomon, he explained the correct attitude towards parental guidance. He said, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." We're told to listen in the first phrase, do not forsake. That doesn't just mean don't ignore what she's saying. That means don't leave it out of our living. Because in the Bible, we are never told to listen without also being told to obey. In fact, you could make an argument that in the Bible, the definition of listening is hearing and doing. There are times when God actually distinguishes between hearing and listening. You can hear something and not listen to it. What's the difference? When you listen to it, you do it. If you just hear it, you might blow it off. And Solomon is saying here, don't blow off the teaching of your parents. Listen. Put it into practice. Do what you're being told. Oftentimes, Jesus would end his teaching with the phrase, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. You mean there were people walking around that had no ears? No. They could all hear. But were they listening? Were they allowing his words to sink in and really change the way they lived? That's what true listening is all about. Proverbs 3:1 that was read for us earlier brings out another truth that applied to Uzziah's life. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your hearts. And that last phrase that I read about Uzziah said, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. As long as he was following God, he was successful. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to be healthy or wealthy in our lives without a problem in the world. That's not realistic. Anybody that tries to tell you that about the Christian life, they're selling you a bill of goods because it's just not real. We do face difficulties in this life, but we will be successful in spite of those difficulties. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see this statement fleshed out. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, these are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, had promised you. There it is. You want a key to a successful life, a fulfilled life? Right there gives it to you. Follow the Lord. Listen to his word. Obey his commands. Paul quoted that in the New Testament in Ephesians 6:2. It says, it's, you know, the only command of the Ten Commandments that has a promise. You know, honor your father and mother that your life may be long on the earth. I remember growing up thinking, well, yeah, because if you don't honor your father and mother, you won't be around long. At least that was the impression that I always was given. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying that your life will go well even if circumstances are not always favorable. I know this is a shock to our young people, but parents do know more than we do. You know, they've lived life. They're not always right, but they've learned things that we haven't experienced yet. Mark Twain once said, "When I was a kid, my dad was an idiot." It's amazing how smarter he got the older I became. I doubt that his dad became all that much smarter. I think the difference was in him. He realized how wise his father really was. And the sooner we can learn that, the better off we're going to be. Uzziah was a man who lived in his father's righteousness. So for us dads and moms, are we giving that kind of an example for our children to follow? If we found them following in our footsteps, would they be headed in the right direction? When their life is complete, would somebody be able to say they followed God just as their father or mother had done? Because whether we like it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, they are following us. Question is, where are we leading them? Now, the second example is in the next chapter of 2 Chronicles, chapter 27. A man named Jotham. Jotham learned from his father's rebuke. Verses 1 and 2. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done, but unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. Once again, the mother is named, and I believe that implies she had a significant, and in this case, positive influence on his life. And again, we encounter that phrase, just as his father had done. So Jotham followed in Uzziah's footsteps. He walked in the ways of God, except there's one difference. It says that unlike him, meaning his father, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. You say, what is that all about? Well, for that, we have to actually go back to chapter 26. We're told in verse 16, after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. And at one point, he entered the temple in order to burn incense to God, and that was something that only priests were allowed to do. Now, you might be thinking, well, he's the king. Can't he do anything he wants? And the answer is no. You still have to follow the laws of God. And when Uzziah went into the temple to do something he was not permitted to do, he was struck with leprosy. He was an outcast for the rest of his days. And when his son Jotham became king, he did not forget that lesson that his father had learned. He did not repeat the same mistake of his father. He chose not to follow his footsteps in that direction. We read in verse 27 of chapter 6, Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord. He did not fall away into sin as his father had done. I'd like to think that he had listened to what his father had to say about pride. So there was some time in between Uzziah being struck with leprosy and when King Uzziah died. And my guess is there were conversations between father and son where Uzziah would say, "Look at me, don't do what I did. Learn from my example. Learn from my rebuke from the Lord. Don't do what I had done." Now, there's a couple of lessons that we can learn from this man, Jotham. One, we should pay careful attention to our father so we do not make the same mistakes in our own life. Yes, parents have a tremendous impact on the lives of their children, but I do not believe, as some in our world would have us believe, that children are doomed to repeat all of the failures of their parents. They're not. They're still choices. The influence may be strong, but you can still choose against it. Jotham did. Here's an example of someone who did not follow. So it's not hardwired into us where we don't have a choice. We always have that choice. And so we can learn from the mistakes of our fathers. In Proverbs 9:9, we read, "Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning." But if anyone gets to the point where they say, "I don't need to hear this," or "I can figure this out on my own," that's really a sign of foolishness. That's not wisdom. Wisdom will learn from as many sources as possible. And yes, you can even learn from a negative experience so that you don't go into that same mistake. Of him it could be said, as in Proverbs 17:10, "A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes for a fool." I mean, can that be said of us? Can we learn from the mistakes of others so that we don't have to make them ourselves? The second lesson speaks really, I think, to the fathers. We're not told exactly what transpired between father and son in those later years of Uzziah's life after he had been struck with leprosy. But I think there was some connection because Jotham did not follow in his father's footsteps that way. What I'm getting at is this: fathers, don't hold back your failures from your children. Be honest. Be able to admit it when you've blown it, because we all do. And they know that too. I know that, you know, your kids hold you up and you're their hero. But they also need to know that you're human. Don't be afraid to admit where you have fallen short, the lessons you've learned in life, so that they don't have to learn them the hard way like you did. It really is an opportunity to teach our children well. The final character we consider this morning was the exact opposite of Jotham. His name is Ammon, and his story is found over in chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles. Beginning in verse 21, Ammon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Ammon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the idols Manasseh had made. But unlike his father Manasseh, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Ammon increased his guilt. Ammon's father was Manasseh, perhaps the most wicked king to ever sit on the throne of Judah. of all the terrible things that God had explicitly told his people not to do, Manasseh did them all. This guy was bad news from the get-go. He was 12 years old when he became king. He reigned for 55 years, and it was a reign of terror. Blood flowed through the streets of Jerusalem. Manasseh had even at one point sacrificed his own son to an idol. The Jewish history outside the Bible tells us that he took Isaiah the prophet, who by this time was a man in his 80s, put him in a hollowed out log and had the log sawed in half. And no, that was not a magician's trick. He was horrible. He was every horrible dictator you can imagine, all rolled into one. And as you might suspect, his son followed that. But there's a twist in the story of Manasseh. After the Babylonians came and took him off the throne and took him back to Babylon, Manasseh humbled himself before the Lord. He repented of his sin, and God forgave him. God restored him. But that's a lesson that Amon did not take to heart. It says that he increased his guilt. He saw all that his father had done and said, "Oh yeah, watch this." He was even worse. Proverbs 15 speaks of such an individual. In verse 5 we read, "A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence." In verse 32 of that same chapter, "He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding." I remember many years ago preaching a sermon on a character in the Old Testament of whom it was said he died the death of a fool. That is a curious phrase. And it was somebody who knew the law, but stepped outside of it, and it cost him his life. And it was said that he died the death of a fool. At that time, there were two very powerful illustrations from that in the world of sports. Those of you that know me know I'm a big sports fan. Some of you may remember the first name. It's a young man named Len Bias. Len Bias was a basketball star at the University of Maryland. He was one of the best. And in the NBA draft, he was drafted second by the Boston Celtics, a team of tremendous history. And they were rebuilding, and they thought, Len Bias is going to be the cornerstone of our franchise for years. We're going to build a team around him, and we're going to get back to the top, which Boston Celtics fans were used to being. But the night after the draft, or the night of the draft, he was at a party with all of his friends, and somebody said, "Hey, you got to try this stuff. It'll blow your mind." He said, "What is it?" And he said, "Cocaine." Len Bias had never touched any drugs, any alcohol, had never done any of that. He had kept clean all that time, but one time he tried it, and he died. It killed him. Young, promising life cut short. And people said, "Oh, but he had never done it before." That might have actually led to why he died, because his body had no tolerance for it, and they gave him too much, and it took him. And that was horrible. It was tragic. It was sad. It was all over the news. Everybody had heard about it at that time. And just 6 weeks later, another young athlete, this time a football player, Don Rogers of the Cleveland Browns, did exactly the same thing the night before he was to be married. Had never tried drugs before, but somebody offered him cocaine. He tried it, and it killed him. Now, Len Bias, you might say, he had no idea that was going to happen to him. I mean, Most people, the first time they try drugs, it doesn't kill them. Otherwise, there'd be a whole lot less people on the earth. But Don Rogers should have known better, right? I mean, that was just 6 weeks ago. They were still talking about it. But for some reason, he thought, oh, it's not going to happen to me. And his life was over. He didn't learn from the tragedy of Len Bias, and foolishly, he threw his life away. And oftentimes, people do the same thing by following in their father's footsteps and repeating the same foolish mistakes that he made. Ammon was such a person, and Proverbs calls him a fool who despises his own life. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, these things happened to them as an example and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Paul says all those dusty stories in the Old Testament, names you can hardly pronounce, and you wonder, do I really need to know this? Yeah, you can learn from their mistakes. You don't have to make the same foolish choices that they did and pay the high price that they did. I always felt that it was a real advantage being the youngest child in my family because I could watch my older brothers get in trouble and say, I ain't gonna do that. Not that I didn't get in trouble myself. But at least I had that opportunity to say, okay, don't do that one. And we all have that opportunity. Whether it's our fathers or our older brothers or even people in the Bible, people in history. Learn. Yes, it's the responsibility of mothers and fathers to teach, but it's our responsibility to learn. And we can learn from our father's mistakes. But Ammon lost despite his father's rebellion. He did not learn the lessons. He doubled down on the sins of his father. And if you notice, he was only king 2 years. All these were young men when they started, 16, 22, 24 years old. Can you imagine that? For those of you that are older than that, can you imagine when you were that age, if you became king of your nation? Yeah, I know we have no kings in this land. Yeah. But just imagine that. You'd have the whole world in front of you. Your whole life is ahead of you. Whose footsteps are we going to follow? What lessons are we going to learn? I think, again, two lessons emerge here. To the fathers, be careful of your life. Some people say, well, you know, I'll get my life right with God later after I've had some fun. You know, I hear a lot of young people saying that. If they're told to, you know, come to Christ, follow Christ. Oh, I got time to do that later on. I'm young. I want to, you know, sow some wild oats. I want to get out there and have some fun like everybody else is doing. You may not have later. You may not have tomorrow. And I'm not trying to get morbid or anything, but none of us are promised tomorrow. But when we engage in some of the foolish practices of youth, we enhance the possibilities that we may not be around tomorrow. Don't make those same mistakes. Learn from people your age that aren't around anymore. Learn from your father, from your mother. Learn from those older. Learn those lessons. Take them to heart. We can't blame our father or mother or anyone else for our lives. This morning we've looked at two men, Jotham and Ammon, whose fathers' lives displayed the discipline of God. One learned from it, the other did not. That was a choice. Both of them were aware. Both of them knew. But they had a choice. So while it's true that children do tend to follow in their father's footsteps, there's still a point in time where you make a choice and it's your own. We need to learn from others' lives and lead a godly life of our own. We've looked at three individuals this morning. I think we can learn from them. Whether we are fathers or mothers, sons or daughters, everyone can learn from these lives. Uzziah, who lived in his father's righteousness. Jotham, who learned from his father's rebuke. And Ammon, who lost despite his father's rebellion and repentance. But while we are all responsible for our own lives, and we should discern lessons from the lives of our fathers carefully, I want to close with an appeal to our dads. And to do that, I want to share two passages from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. The first is Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Paul writes, "I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me." Paul is telling his spiritual children, "I urge you to imitate me." And in that same letter in chapter 11, first verse, verse 1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Dads, can you say that to your kids today? Can you say to them, "Follow my example"? Or would you have to say to them, "Do as I say, not as I do"? Don't follow too closely to what I'm doing. Which is it? Paul could tell the Corinthians, "Follow my example," because of what he said right after it, "as I follow the example of Christ." I'm not calling you to be perfect, because we're not. What I am saying is, live the kind of life so that when your kids follow in your footsteps, they're going to be better off. You're not leading them into a life of disappointment, disillusionment, and worse. The key is following after Christ. Only as we pattern our lives after Jesus Christ and His Word can we set an example that's worth following. For in Christ, even when we fail, in His grace, in His forgiveness, we pick ourselves up and we move on toward God instead of compounding our sin and guilt. So as you walk through life, don't be surprised if you hear footsteps. The question is, do you want them to go where you're heading? Would you bow with me in prayer? Again, Father, we are thankful for your word, the lessons we can learn through your word, the lives of some godly people and some ungodly people, some godly people that did ungodly things. And some of them learned lessons, others did not. May we be wise students who can learn the lessons of life as lived in others, so we don't have to pay the high price ourselves. And may we all be examples that others can follow, because in fact, they are. We thank you for our dads, for all that they do for us and have done for us. And this day we honor them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.